God, this morning, we thank you that we can know you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the symbols that you've left for us, Lord. This morning, God, we just take this broken piece of cracker, Lord, in our hands as representation, God, of your body. Lord, this morning we recognize, Lord, that we are a broken body, God. That we as individuals are broken, Lord, and that as a church, Lord, we are broken before you, Jesus. In the light of your awesomeness and your goodness and your greatness, Lord, none of us is worthy, Lord. But we thank you, Lord, this morning that you make us whole, God. We thank you, Lord, that as we eat this morning, Lord, that we do it in awe of you, Lord, in reverence of you, Lord, in remembrance of you, God. We just thank you, Lord, this morning for the privilege that you've called us to lay down our lives, Lord. You've called us, God, to die to the old life, to be raised anew with Christ. And this morning we recognize our brokenness, Lord, but we thank you that you have been broken, that we can be made whole. Lord, this morning we bring our brokenness before you, God. We bring our hearts before you, God. We bring our, Lord, our indifference before you to the cross many times, Lord. And we say, Lord Jesus, we want revelation of what you did. Not only of what you did, but of who you are, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your heart is the same towards us. So, Lord, we eat in awe of you. Let's eat together as a body this morning. Thank you for your blood, Lord, that sets us free, Lord, that wipes away every sin, Lord, and every bit of shame and guilt in our lives. God, thank you that you make a new covenant with us again this morning, Lord. You remind us of what you've already done, Lord, and thank you for hearts commitments here this morning, Lord. Just since God wants us in our hearts to make a commitment to reaffirm our covenant with him and our relationship with him, just to reevaluate. I just sense God wants us to reevaluate our relationship with him this morning. Before we even drink this, just to consider where each one of us is at in our relationship with Jesus this morning. And then maybe just to repent, to walk away from just loving things more than him, from loving some stuff more than him. It's just all good stuff. It's nothing bad. It's what he's even called us for. But the Lord says, do you love me more than these? More than all these? Just the same as he asked Peter, do you love me more than everything in your life? More than all the people? And even your wife or your husband sitting next to you. I sense the Lord saying to couples this morning, do you love Jesus more than the incredible love you have for the person next to you? Are you prepared to really die for your relationship with Jesus? Because many of us are prepared to die for our spouses. But are we prepared to die for Jesus and the cause of him? So Lord, we thank you that you've made it all possible, God. Thank you for the covenant that you made with us that will never be broken from your side, Lord. But from us, for our side, Lord, we ask you this morning. So many times, Lord, we have broken our promises to you. We have made many commitments to you, Lord. But Lord, this morning we say, help us, Jesus. Thank you for the new covenant that we can remember, Lord. We recognize we've missed it, but Lord, thank you that you remind us this morning. As we drink, Lord, you forgive us of all our missed promises and our lack of commitment to you, Lord. Because you are always committed. You are always faithful. So let's drink this in honesty and in raw, open hearts with God this morning. Let's not pretend that everything's fine when it's not fine. Jesus says, but I see you and I see your heart to come back to me. See, I just sense even some prodigal sons this morning turning back to God. Some hearts turning back to God this morning, fully, wholeheartedly, remembering your first love. So as you drink that, Just see yourself running back to God and see the Father's arms open and running towards you, actually. He's coming to lift you up because He knows your weakness. So just enjoy His embrace this morning as you drink this cup. We just ask to, that You'll create in us a heart for You, Lord. A heart of worship, a heart of sacrifice, Lord. A heart of obedience. A heart that's prepared to do anything, Lord, for Your cause. Because You're our Master this morning. You're our Lord. We just love You, Lord Jesus. We worship You this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says, Amen. Just turn to someone next to you and greet them. Give them a smile and say, God is busy with all of us. God is busy building His church. Amen. Don't we serve an amazing God? Welcome to church this morning. Welcome to the adventure. I want to ask you to be honest this morning and just give me a show of hands. Who has been disappointed by someone who made a promise to you or made a commitment or made some kind of whether it's even a covenant or some serious commitment to you and they sort of let you down? Can I just have some show of hands? Most of us, I mean, and can I also have some honest hearts here that you have made a promise or a commitment or a covenant to someone else and you let them down or you let people down? Is there anyone like that? Any Christians in the house? Any honest people? None of us are perfect. See, we have all been let down by people in life. Amen. We have all been let down by commitments made to us or promises or even in marriage, covenants that have been made and that have been broken. Or we have been the guilty party where we've let others down. Promises made and no follow through. Just look at the divorce stats in our world today. Many commitments, many covenants made, and I'm sure everyone felt the same as all of us who are still married. The altar was amazing, and you loved that person, and you said, I do, and I will, and all these things, you know, that we make at the altar. And then yet, somewhere along the line, it faded away, and there's divorce or separation or whatever happened. Or just a commitment that you made to your children or that you made to your parents and you let them down or they let you down. Just look at the disappointed children out there. Look at the disillusioned children. Look at the young people that are growing up. Don't even have promises made to them. Just look at the citizens of our nation. Look at the young people that are rising up. We see it on campus. We see it all over the place where commitments or there's expectation or there's promises made. I mean, the government in 94 made incredible promises to this nation. I mean, that things would be better and things would change. And look at the disillusion in our nation and in many nations of the world. Expectations haven't been met. Just look at people who have left church. Look at how many people are outside the local church in the day and age that we live in, especially in our city here. Lots of people disappointed and promises were made and things weren't fulfilled. Or look at the promises we made to people and we didn't fulfill them. And there's just disappointment and heartache many times. Each one of us has experienced a breaking of a promise somewhere in our lives. This morning I'm not going to talk about forgiveness. I think that's very important, but I'm just going to talk about our relationship with God and many times that we even see God in that light, isn't it so? We've been disappointed by authority figures, we've been disappointed by people in our lives, and so when we enter this amazing relationship with a perfect God, we somehow still have this veil that says, you know, God is not really going to come through for me. God is yeah, I've had this done to me before, this promise made, and it doesn't come to pass. When God gives commands or makes statements about himself, then we either don't fully believe him, we still have that little bit of doubt. Is God really perfect? Is he really loves me like with everything? Or then we don't even take him seriously and we sort of just do nothing about what he's asked us to do because we're just not sure that he's really going to fulfill what he promised in our lives. Or even in the worst case, many times we rebel against God. We walk away from him. The fact that you're here this morning means at least you're not at that place. But I think there's been a couple of people that have walked away from God. I guess because of wrong expectations. So this morning, I just want to look at a story and I want you to imagine your own life and to look at your own walk with God so far. I want you to see yourself in the same way as the father of our faith experienced this walk with God. His name is Abram. He was first Abram and then Abraham. So in Genesis chapter 12, so I'm just going to take us through a short journey with the life of Abraham and then just trust the Lord to show you some things in your own life. In terms of the God of promises. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make your name great and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is almost like where Abraham gets called by God for the first time. He obviously knew God before that. It's not like he got saved at this time, but I think he must have really had an encounter with the Lord because as soon as God said he must do something, then he moved. He didn't wonder. He didn't ask any questions. He just seemed to go. God gave him this incredible command without being specific. He just said, I'm going to show you. Just move, Abraham. Just go. But he said, you can take your family with you. Or he actually said, you must get away from your family. And he did take his family with him. He was a very relational person, so couldn't leave his family completely. But he took some of his family with him. And then after that, God starts to say, I'm going to make you a number of promises. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless those who bless you. And I'm going to curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But a word that sticks out to me, or two words here, is I will, I will, I will. God makes these incredible promises to Abraham. It's amazing. Abraham responds immediately. And he goes. Imagine your life. Imagine what has God asked you to do. What are the promises that God has given you in your life? Where God has said to you, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. Because I believe we must first hear the promises of God and know who God is before we can respond to these promises. Amen. But what was amazing for me when I read these passages, the next verse and the next verse as well, the next chapter that we're going to go through, I see this word, I will, I will, I will. I see God is incredibly committed to his covenant and to his promises. Now, I don't know about you, but if you see the word I will, do you really believe that God is going to do it? I mean, imagine Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many. I'm going to bless you. It's like I'm so for you that this is incredible, Abraham. Your life is never going to be the same again. I wonder if Abraham really believed it and how much did he believe that? But I think his response showed that he kind of believed that. What are the promises that God has made to you in your life right now? Or maybe when he first asked you to follow him, you know, the other day I had this incredible encounter with the Lord last week and I spent time with him and I just started to consider the things that I said when I got saved, you know, and I wrote them down in my book. I wrote down that I said yes to discomfort in my life. I said yes to being rejected in my life. I said yes to a lot of things when I said yes to Christ. Amen. I said no to an easy life. I said no to a life where I'm in control, where I make decisions, and where I lead my own life. I said no to a lot of those things. But I didn't fully know that God was going to use me and bless me. But I had this experience that I must just respond now because God is calling me, and I don't know where He's calling me to. I don't know which places I'm going to go to in my life, because I was very comfortable in the Boland. You know, it's all green there and it's beautiful and there's lots of rain and lots of mountains, and then God calls you to dry places. God calls you to a place called Pretoria, where you have to get confronted with the blue bulls. Nothing against them. They're awesome. There's some amazing children of God there. Are you joking? Then God calls you to Bloemfontein, and God calls you to incredible places, but He just says, go. I'm not going to give you too many specifics, but I promise that I will be with you. I promise that I will. So what has God called you to? What are the places that He's called you to leave? What are the comfort zones He's calling you to leave? William and Mika are going to Pretoria next year. So we've got to talk nicely about Pretoria. Amen. It's always difficult for the wife when the husband has to go and God's opened an opportunity for you. And some of us, Bloemfontein isn't so comfortable, so it's easy to leave Bloem. Joke there. But where has God called you to? And what are the comfort zones? And what are the promises God is saying that He has for you? And so the life of Abraham continues, and he goes and he starts to experience the blessing of God in his life, but still there's no offspring because there's no physical son or daughter that comes from him. So, look, God, what are you going to do here? How is this going to work? And so in Genesis chapter 15, God comes and He comes to encourage Abraham because He knows that Abraham's thinking, okay, God, all these promises You've made to me, I don't see it physically coming to pass because You said my offspring will be blessed. I will be a father of many. So what's up here, Lord? And God comes and He says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Isn't that amazing? God comes to assure Abraham. He says, listen, yeah, my promises are so cool. But you know what, Abraham? My promises are not the most important. The most important is that I am your reward. Amen. A relationship with me is the most important thing that you can have. I'm not only your reward, Abraham, but I'm your shield. I'm your protection, that you can have faith in me. The Bible talks about the shield of faith. It represents your faith, your belief. God, Abraham, you can believe me. But firstly, Abraham, I'm your reward. I'm the one that's most important here. Your relationship with me is most important. And then Abraham says, but God, and he starts to reason with God. He says, but God, you know, where's this descendant? Where are these descendants going to come from? Because there's people in my house, but they're not of my body. They're servants. So are they going to be? And God says, no, Abraham, you're going to have someone born to you. And I know your wife is old and you're old, but believe me, Abraham. And then, you know, Abraham wasn't a very argumentative guy like Moses. Moses had to have 17 reasons why he must go for God. Okay? Abraham kind of just started to ask questions, and then it says he believed the Lord. And he accounted it to him for righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Abraham was quite a good example of someone who just didn't figure things out too much. He just said, okay, God, I believe you. But then what happens? What does verse chapter 16 say? Abraham's wife comes to him and says, listen, yeah, it doesn't look like you're going to have a son born to me because I can't have children. So why don't you make a plan? You know, yes, my maidservant, just sleep with her and let's get this descendant thing going here. Because God is saying, I can imagine this impatient wife, you know, like, Abraham, you are so slow now. Let's just make a plan, you know. And so it's amazing because it says he believed the Lord and yet he made another plan. Listened too much to his wife. I love what Corné Becker said at the conference for those of you. Yeah, he talked about a small fear of wife and a big fear of God. And I think, yeah, Abraham had a big fear of wife and a small fear of God. And so he listened to his wife, and his wife said, listen, yeah, sleep with this lady and at least you can have a child. That we can get these promises going, because it seems like it's quite exciting, Abraham. It's just a pity I can't be a part of it, but let's do this. But before that, God made a covenant with Abraham. Just before Ishmael is born and is conceived, at the end of chapter 15, God's covenant with Abraham is that I'm going to continue to do this. And what does he do? He puts Abraham to sleep and he makes this covenant with him. And he says, you know what, Abraham, I'm actually going to put you out the way here, because if I make a covenant with you, I know you're going to break it. So I'm going to make a covenant with myself. And that's what God did. God made a covenant with himself. He swore by no one else because there's no one higher than him. So he had to make a covenant with himself. A covenant that will never break. What an amazing God we serve. Amen. What an awesome God. He includes Abraham in this thing, but he says, you know what? I'm not going to directly make a covenant with you. I'm just going to make it with myself because I know what's going to happen. And what happened the very next chapter? Abraham messes up. And Ishmael is born. And you know, God blesses Ishmael. Just because he came from Abraham. But it wasn't the promise. It was the son of the flesh. It's called the son of the flesh. Ishmael is the son of the flesh. He's not the son of promise. And how many of us in our own lives, we are a bit impatient, and so God's given us promises, and then what we do immediately, we believe God and we're so excited for God, and then we give birth to Ishmaels. Because is God really faithful? Should I not make a plan here? Should I not step in and try to do things and try to work things out? Or maybe I must, you know, listen to my wife. And it's good, guys, husbands, it's good to listen to your wife. My wife many times is the Holy Spirit in my life, but not all the time. So I know she compliments me and I compliment her, but many times we must really know, is this God speaking or is this emotion speaking? Is this frustration speaking? And in the case of Abraham, it wasn't God's plan. But what an awesome God we serve. Because he made a covenant, he still blessed Ishmael. But he said to Abraham, yeah, in verse 17, yeah. Chapter 17. He says, Abraham is now 99 years old, and obviously he's feeling a bit stupid because he messed up. And the Lord appears to him. Abraham must have had an amazing relationship with God, because he didn't walk away from God. He continued to serve God. And he was faithful because God spoke to him. God had chosen him, and God comes to him and says to him, Abraham, I am Almighty God. You've got to know me, Abraham, because I want you to walk before me and be blameless. I want you to not walk in your own flesh. I just want you to walk before me. I want you to see me face to face. I want you to be holy. I want you to live a holy life. A life that's not ordinary, a life that's consecrated. And then he goes on, he starts to remind Abraham of all his promises. And he said, I will make my covenant between me and you. And he reaffirms him. He says, I'll multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, because he probably can't believe that this God is so amazing that even though he makes mistakes, God is still talking to him. God is still excited about the purpose he had for his life. And he says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. And then he has this encounter with God, because he says, no longer shall your name be called Abraham, exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham, father of many. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. And also I give to you you and your descendants after you, the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said to Abraham, as for you. So here it is. He gives all these promises. He reminds Abraham, listen, I've blessed you more than you can think. Just continue to believe me. I've blessed you, Abraham. I've blessed you. And then he says, as for you, this is what I want you to do, Abraham. You shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. You shall keep my covenant. So there is a requirement, you see, for every promise of God, even though God makes a covenant with himself and he gets Abraham a little bit out of the way when he makes this promise, he says, listen here, Abraham, there is a responsibility on your life to keep my commands, to keep my covenant. For every promise, there's always a premise. Isn't that so? It's just like in marriage, you know, if we promise something, there's got to be a requirement from both parties. Just think of any promise that you have made or that has been made to you. You know what? Both parties must commit to that. Otherwise, it's going to be broken. And so was Abraham able to do that? Was Abraham able to keep God's covenant? Or just think about the generations to come. Was he able to, were his descendants able to keep the covenant? Do you guys think so? Do you think all Abraham's descendants were able to keep the covenant that he said? Just look at the Bible. Just read the Old Testament. People continue to mess up. People continue messing up after messing up after messing up. Some of them kept them. God is so incredibly committed to us as people, and he understands that in our own strength, if we just obey a command, we aren't able to ultimately keep God's commands. We aren't able to. That's in the Old Testament. But then history happens. The center of history happens, and God makes a covenant with himself again. And he says, I'm going to send myself to these people. I'm going to send myself to these people in the form of a man that they can identify with. But you know what? It's me and my son and my spirit in one. I'm already in covenant. I'm already in relationship. But I'm going to send the son of mine as a sign of my covenant. And his blood is going to flow. His body is going to be opened up so that his blood can flow as a sign of the covenant. And Jesus comes and God says, you know what? People will never be able to follow me unless I write their laws, my laws on their hearts. Unless I give them a relationship that they can identify with. Unless I really do something radical to make people believe that I'm really the God of all ages. And so all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is to experience Jesus personally in our lives. And that's our requirement, is that we simply keep his commandments. Keep his covenant. Not his commandments, keep his covenant. But with that, it means we must keep his commandments. But let's get back to the promises now. God did fulfill his promises to Abraham, and he said, I will bless you, will multiply, and you're going to be a father of many. And Abraham was that. Even though the covenant wasn't kept perfectly, Abraham was still blessed and God's promises came to fulfillment. Isn't that so? Because we are here today because of Abraham's faith and because he was true to God. But was that Abraham's doing or was that God's doing? I think it was because God made a covenant with himself. That despite people messing up, God is faithful. I think we serve an amazing God. I think we serve a God who will not break his promises. I think we serve a God who is true to his word, who is true to who he says he is. And this morning we can celebrate him. We can hold these elements in our hands saying, Jesus, this is as close as I can get to a physical representation of you. It's your body and your blood, your broken body, your shed blood. That's ultimately who you are. You've come to identify with us. You've come to cut covenant with yourself again and then invite us to be part of your covenant. So I want to say this morning is that God is inviting us to be part of his story. I mean, God is inviting us to be part of his covenant and his incredible promises. Let's just look at the book of Matthew now. So we're moving to the Old Testament now. So just want to look at three things that Jesus, significant promises Jesus made to his disciples. And I believe he's making those same promises to us. He's calling us to do the same thing. So there's going to be a requirement and there's also going to be a promise. Matthew 4 verse 18 to 19, Jesus calls his disciples and it says, yeah, he's walking by the sea, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them the following, he said to them, follow me and I will. I want you to see this. I want you to see the promise of God. When he called the disciples, he says, I will make you. Does it sound familiar, the whole I will thing? He said a lot of I wills to Abraham, and those I wills came to pass. Even though Abraham remained or was unfaithful at times, God remained faithful and he says, I will, I will, I will. So the promise is that I will make you fishers of men. When I was small, I used to think when you sang that song, you know, I will make you fishers of men. I like thought the fishers weren't E-R-S, but E-S, like fishers of men. I don't know what I was thinking, but I thought like we're going to be fish and men or fish of men. I don't know what I was thinking. Until it's actually a fisherman of men. You're going to catch people. You're going to actually evangelize people. You're going to get people into the kingdom. That's what it actually means. I'm not going to make you into fish or many fishes. I'm going to actually make you catch people. And he's going to promise to do that. He says, I will make you. In other words, we can't make ourselves fishers of men. We can't try to do this fishing thing. We can't try to do this disciple-making thing or this evangelism thing. He says, I will do it in you, but you know what? You've got to follow me. Amen. There's a promise and a premise. The premise is you must follow me. There's a requirement. And just like God's promise to Abraham, he said, listen, yeah, follow me. Come away with me. Get out of your country. Get out of your comfort zone. Get out of that which is familiar to you and start to walk on the water. Start to walk into the unfamiliar. You know what? I will fulfill my promise. I believe the greatest reward in following Jesus is living for other people, is becoming fruitful. And Abraham was fruitful. Abraham had one son, and out of that was born nations, and 12 tribes of Israel came from him. Abraham was fruitful. So I believe that one of the rewards Jesus has for us, one of the blessings, one of the promises is that he's going to make us fruitful. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Some of us aren't excited about being fruitful because we're so living for ourselves. We're so living just for our little families. And God says, I want to make you blessing upon blessing of many people. I want to make you great nations. But he says, come and follow me. It means laying down our lives, taking up our crosses, following Jesus. He will take care of the promise. We must just take care of the premise. We must follow him. Are we really following Jesus this morning? Some of us maybe feel like you haven't heard his voice for a while and you're just a little bit of distant from him. That's fine. But this morning I believe he's calling you back to follow him. Amen. He will take care of his promises. Because when he says, I will, he's not a God who breaks his promises. He will. And I know God has made me a fisher of men in my life. I was so shy. I didn't want to see people. I didn't want to speak to people. And God has changed my life. And he's made me a people's person. He's made me excited about people. I'm like amazed at this awesome God. Made me a fisher of men where I'm so excited to share the gospel. And I know I'm not always, but I know God did it in me. And I have to say, God, you do it again. Because if I start doing it in my own strength, if I try to reach people, Lord, without you, God, then I'd rather just follow you, that you can make me a fisher of men again. Do we have such a hunger and a thirst for God's presence in our lives that we become fruitful? But I believe he's saying this morning, come, come away. Come out of that land. Come to follow me. And then Jesus makes a second promise in the middle of the book of Matthew. The second significant promise, I believe, it was a shifting point in history. Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? This morning we can ask ourselves, who do you say that Jesus is? Some say he's this, some say he's that. You know, we have a lot of opinions about Jesus this morning. Right here in our city, in our nation, we have a lot of opinions. But who do you say that I am? And guess what Peter answers? Peter says, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You're the Son of the God who's alive. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then he starts to say to Peter the following. I say to you that you are Peter. You're no longer Simon, son of Jonah. You are Peter. You're a new person. Because of this revelation that you've had of the Son of God, your life has changed. Don't know whose life was changed when you had a revelation of the Son of God. Anyone got saved? You had a new name. God gave you a new name, not physically or, you know, on your ID, but spiritually you had a new name. You were no longer your old life. You were no longer the sinful one. You are now the one I'm going to use. Amen. I want you to remember your salvation. I want you to remember the day you got saved, because the day I got born again, I almost had two salvation experiences. I got born again and I knew I was going to heaven, but then I got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's my second birth almost. Well, I heard God saying, I want to use you. You're no longer Alistair, the old one, the sinful one. You're now Alistair, the one I want to use. The one who's had a revelation that I am the answer to life. I'm the answer to your life, but I'm the answer to so many other people's lives. And he says the following to Peter. He says, on this rock, I will build my church. Isn't that amazing? I can be honest with you guys. This is a promise that I, as a pastor, have to stand on daily. Amen. I have to stand on this promise daily and know, God, you are going to build your church. But you know what I need a revelation of? I need a revelation of Christ, the Son of the living God, to really have that promise understood in my life and come to pass in my life. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he gives another promise. Incredible. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That whatever you bind on earth and bound in, will be bound in heaven. Or whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God has given his disciples here. Jesus gave them the keys of the kingdom and they established the church. Amen. We can look at church history. They established the church. By the power of God's presence. By the revelation of that Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the ultimate building block. He's the cornerstone. The premise is that we need a revelation of Christ. If we're going to stand on this promise that God is going to build this church, we need to understand who Christ is. That he's the Son of the living God. That he's in control of our lives. He's in control of our church. He's in control of community. And just like God's covenant with Abraham, God made this covenant with Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. I believe God is drawing a covenant community together here that knows him. That is his church. He is busy building his church. Amen. It's so exciting that our theme for next year is God's building. And I heard another pastor saying he's going to make a theme for the month. God's building, God's building. That's quite cool, eh? Because God is building God's building. It's God's building and he is also building. God is the master builder. Did you see how many times do we mess up the church? Because we don't really have a revelation of God's covenant community. We don't have a revelation of God himself, of Jesus himself. And so I'm talking to me as a leader. I'm talking to us as leaders. We mess up our church in our lack of revelation or presumption. And I'm talking to you guys as members as well. Every one of us messes up church many times because of our lack of revelation of who Christ is. Amen. So we try to do church our way. We try to do church that fits into our box or fits into our way of church. And God says, I will build my church. And there's so many people running around out there and I don't want to knock anyone, but you know, people that want to get the church together and want to, let's have unity now. Let's establish like unity now. Let's get all the churches to try to work together and let's build God's church for him. And I want to say, be careful of that. Be careful of trying to build church in the flesh. Because it's maybe not out of a full revelation of who Christ is. If Christ said to Peter, I will build my church, his promise is that he's going to build his church. Can I have an amen? Can I have us as church excited that God is going to build us? Amen. That God is going to make us the covenant community he wants us to be. Because he has made covenant with himself. But when we start to have a revelation of who Jesus is, that he's the Christ, that he's the Messiah, he's the Son of a God who's alive, a God who's well, God who's sitting on the throne. Because to be honest with me, you know, when I come on a Sunday after 4 years in Bloemfontein, then I'm asking God, are you really building your church, you know? God, we're the masses out there. God, we are the lost. We are, God, I want to see you build your church. Then I have to remind myself, no, God is building his church. Because I can get frustrated and I can get, God, what other plans do we have to make? God, let's just mark it so nicely that we can have lots of coffee here, that people can come and we can have a coffee shop and have a little bit of a church service with it or whatever. You know, we have all these thoughts of how to build the church. And then I have to go back to the scripture and the Lord reminds me, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Then I get encouraged again because you know what I see? Actually, I see relationships starting to form. I see people starting to love one another. I see people helping someone move yesterday. I want to thank all the people that helped Liesl move yesterday. A widow, basically a mother of two kids. And then I hear certain people offer their services, their buckies, their manpower to help someone move. Then I get excited because I see there's a revelation of church and that God is busy building his church. There's relationships being established. There's incredible stuff happening behind the scenes. And then we realize, God, thank you that you're a faithful God. You're God of promises. We'll keep your promise. And you hear of people loving one another and people having a revelation that their lives are not more important than others' lives. In fact, that others' lives are actually more important than their lives. And comfort zones are left and the same spirit that was in Abraham rises up and we are prepared to go and we are prepared to bless others. You know, last night we left our gate open. Somehow, I don't know if I pressed the button or if it was supernatural or whatever, but I'm busy preparing my sermon last night. And so our gate's wide open. And so Hester's in bed sleeping and I hear this like the bell ringing and I'm thinking, now who wants food at this time of night, you know? Who's at the door? And they sound like, hello, hello. And we open the curtain and we see our gate's wide open. It's not the first time it's happened, by the way. I don't know who forgot the gate to open. Who let the dogs out? But then it's these people from Afriforum and they just patrolling the streets and making sure everyone's safe. And I just said, thank you so much for what you guys are doing. This is amazing. This is caring for the community. And you know, 10 o'clock, or past 10 at night, you're supposed to be sleeping or doing whatever, but you're patrolling the streets. Blessing other people, making sure others are safe at your expense, at your lack of sleep, your discomfort. No money is involved, nothing. Just said to them, you guys are doing amazing. Challenged me to lay down my own life. Am I going to bless my community? Am I going to bless the suburb I live in? Am I going to bless the neighbor that I live next door to? Or is my life my own? My comfort's my own. But I see God is building his church. And church, this morning I want to say he's inviting us to be part of his community. He's inviting us to be part of his plan, his story. Where the I will is not me, it's him. Amen. The I will is the God who's faithful to his promises and not all our commitments that we many times make and we don't fulfill them. And then Jesus' last significant promise. We all know the scripture, but you know, I had to put it in here again. You know, I thought to myself, oh, people know the scriptures. God says, no, put it in again. Talk about it again. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, he has the promise. I am with you. Amen. And we forget the promise, and so many times we look and we have to do this stuff and we have to go and make disciples and we've got to do all this stuff. And God just says, my promise is with you. I am with you everywhere and all the time. But yes, I've asked you. There's just one little requirement that I want you to do. Just go and make disciples. And it simply talks about Abraham's obedience. Same as Abraham had to keep the covenant. Abraham had to just be obedient. God's calling us just to be obedient. And he's going to give us opportunities to make disciples in the most amazing ways. It could be teaching your child how to wash dishes. It could be teaching your child the gospel. It could be telling someone else that God is good and God is faithful and God is true to his promises. So don't give up hope now. But let's pray about this. Let's start to teach. Let's start to get you baptized. I'm so excited about people getting baptized this afternoon again. Won't tell you who they are. They can tell you. But I see it's an obedience. I see it's from the heart. I see it's like We're going to follow God with all our hearts. And we're going to start getting involved in seeing how many disciples we can make. This morning, the good news for all of us, guys, is that God has done everything in His power to fulfill His promises. God has done everything possible to keep His side of His promise. I love the way Luke puts it. Luke puts it a little bit differently. He says exactly the same thing that Matthew does, but he says the following. He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And what did Luke write in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? "You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Same as Matthew 28, making disciples. Just said a little bit differently. But where God says, "Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age," what does He mean? I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you, the promise of the Holy Spirit. I believe when we activate the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we say, "God, I recognize you, yeah, I wake up this morning, I recognize that you're here to empower me to study, you're here to empower me to work, you're here to help me to live a life that's different from the world. I send the promise of my Father, and it's a promise, and I send it," says God. "And I give it to you freely." And without the Holy Spirit, we won't make disciples. Without the Holy Spirit, we won't reach people. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just going to do stuff. But I know with the Holy Spirit, we're going to do lots of things. Amen. Because He's going to empower us, and He's going to tell us what to do. But it's a challenge. I know all of us are thinking, but how do I hear the voice of God? How do I know what to do every day? I believe we just know that He is faithful. And when we just take a step of faith, when we walk on the water, God is going to do incredible stuff through us. He'll do miracles. He'll do what He has to do. He will build His church. He will be with you. He will make you a fisherman. He will make you a disciple maker. But He says, "Follow me. Follow me." And I want to say something this morning. If we can believe, if we can really believe that God, the God of the promises, is greater than the promises Himself, we're going somewhere. And that's the climax of our message this morning, is that if we start to see the promises as more important than the promiser, then we start to operate in the flesh. And we run after the promises of God, and we run after so many stuff that God has said. And it's good, we must do that. But I believe, first of all, we must come to the place where God is greater than His promises. Amen. God is so much more awesome than we can imagine. And His promises will come to pass. But we must know it's because He is an awesome God. Because He is faithful. And so He's not like people that have disappointed us. He's not like a father that has let us down, or a schoolmaster, or even a pastor or a church leader that has let you down. He's not that. He's the God who's amazing and who's faithful to His promises, because He's an awesome and amazing God. And to have a relationship with this God is just incredible. To get to know this God is incredible. To get to follow Him is incredible. To get to serve in His house and to get to be part of what He's doing is just amazing. It's an awesome God. And I just want to say this morning, He's inviting us to be part of His story. He's inviting us to be part of His community while He builds His church, while He is faithful to make us into disciple makers. And ultimately, He's faithful to be with us to the end of the age. So I want the band to come forward this morning. I want us to worship God this morning with a song. To worship God with our lives this morning. Whatever it takes, let's worship God. But let's not worship God just for the next few minutes. Let's worship God as we leave here. Let's worship God as we have lunch together with friends and family. Let's worship God this week as we do our work and write our exams and study and all that stuff. Let's know that He's the God who's faithful to His promises. But I also believe this morning that God wants to give some of us a renewal and a reminder of the promises that He has given us, very specifically. When you start to see Him, you start to see there's certain promises that God made for you or made to you, and you've forgotten them because of maybe disillusionment. Just like Abraham, you walk with God for a while and then He's not coming through. So then you, You make sure Ishmael is born, because at least something must be born. I must be fruitful somehow. But it's not a promise. It's not a son of the promise. So I really felt the Lord saying this morning, and we're going to worship the Lord, and then we're going to just have an opportunity. If you feel like there's promises that you've forgotten about, or maybe you're not sure what God's promises are, I believe this morning He wants to give you certain promises for your work, for your future, for your marriage and your family, for your kids. There's promises God wants you to stand on. Because this is very general. This is like the stuff that we should all embrace. But for each of us, there's promises that aren't written in the Bible. Because the Bible wasn't written primarily for you. It was written for other people. Do you know that? It wasn't written primarily for us. But out of the Bible, we can see God is a faithful God. Amen. And He's going to start to give you guys promises and give me promises that will come to pass. Because I will. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to lay down your life? Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank You that Your Word is powerful, God. Thank You for Your character that is so revealed through Scripture and through Your dealings with a guy like Abraham. Thank You this morning, God, that You stir us by Your Spirit, Lord, and by Your Word this morning, that You remind us, those of us who've lost hope, Lord, those of us who've lost focus a little bit, Lord, on the kingdom. Thank You this morning that You come to reveal to us Your purposes and Your promises. But Lord, we are willing this morning to commit to the premise, Lord. We're willing to commit to the requirement that You have from us to keep Your covenant, Lord. To keep faithful to You, Lord. To follow You, to love You more than ever before. And then to, Lord, be obedient where it's tough, Lord. To say yes, Lord, to the things that are many times out of the comfort zone. And to say no to that which keeps us bound, Lord.